We're going to begin with putting some attention both into the body and into the surroundings, into our lives. And one of the things that might be a little different about this work is that we're not really relaxing. Things might relax, but we're actually kind of waking up because we tend to grip ourselves, not knowing that we're doing that. We tend to be tense in a way that we don't even recognize. So we're always kind of having to stir ourselves out of that. And we're going to begin with the part of the self that is the most active and really governs all the rest. And we'll keep coming back to that over and over again, just as we would need to in our daily life to have things go a little better than they might be going now. And it's not only in terms of the body, but for now, we're going to bring attention back to the body, back to our sense of ourselves in space and time. So bringing some awareness to your eyes and noticing that we tend to lock them, we tend to sort of lock them forward, driving, computer using. And it takes a little bit of attention to wake them up to the rest of the room. Maybe noticing the space over on your right or your left or above you or below you. And then sure enough, we'll find ourselves right back to that locked forward position. So we're always coming back in to invite the eyes to soften and see a bit wider, a wider field of attention. And that goes right toward this very magical thing that the Alexander Technique offers us, which is the head balance on top of the spine, which actually is right behind your eyes, where your head, your skull rests on your spine. And when you let go of that, that balance, there tends to be this little nod. It's like a little bit of nothing, just a little nod forward. And it's not like we do that once and we're all done for the day. It's that's kind of how we want to be. And it goes along with the freed up eyes. So take a moment and let the eyes open softly, out of their usual focus. And then find for yourself, just play with it, a little tiny nod way up, much higher than you would think it would be. It's not down at chin level, it's up at eye level and ear level. And that's the release of the mainspring of the body, that big head riding on the very sort of segmented, shock-absorbing, rotational, wonderful spinal column. So actually, if you're driving a car right now, or if you're in a room at a computer, you can play with finding the head balance, the freed up head balance, and letting your eyes adjust their horizon line. One of the big complaints when people first find their little nod, you know, sort of drop your nose an eighth or a quarter of an inch, and that's your little nod. What people complain about is, oh, I'm looking down now. But in fact, if you go back to what we did at the beginning with the more general gaze, you're not looking down. You're looking, your eyes can adjust. The eyes have all these wonderful little muscles around the eyeballs, and they can adjust independent of how your head is moving, independent of how the whole body is moving. One of the things we begin to do in this work is unlock parts of ourselves from other parts. The habit tends to kind of glom everything all together. And we're starting to open the body out into being more articulate in the way the parts interact with other parts. So with that in mind, we're going to go on to two big counterbalances in the body. So if we're in sitting, let's say we're in sitting, we'll do this whole sequence in sitting. There are two parts of the body that naturally counterbalance each other. And one part is the legs, and the other part is the torso. So how sitting is meant to work, how it's built in to work, is the legs release out away from us toward the ground, which sends the torso up into upright balance. And all of this happens at the pelvis, which is the sort of the root of the balance. It's the heaviest part of the body. So let's work with that just a little bit, beginning by sorting out the legs from the whole pattern. So bring a little attention, no matter what you're doing, into your left hip joint, and then send the attention out to the knee. So we're thinking out, away, rather than holding those legs up into us and gripping. We're sending them away to be a counterbalance. You can even send the back of the leg from your sit bone to the back of the knee. We call it directing. You're letting it move out away from you. And then sending, releasing the lower leg from the knee down to the ankle. And when we get to the ankle, we're in this rich area with lots and lots of flexibility and openness, if we unlock it, that then allows the energy to go back to the heel, through the arches of the foot, out through the large toe, the inside toe, and then out through all the toes and the top of the foot, like a big duck's flipper, you can think of it. And it's spreading out and open and receptive to the support of the ground. So instead of just gripping our legs, we're actually letting them move out away from us and kind of collect this balance from the earth. And it sends that back up. And that helps feed the uprightness of our spine, which is being released way up high by the head, eyes, neck, free balance of the head. And then go to the right hip and let go of it in such a way that you're thinking out to the right knee. And then from your sit bone, which is under you, farther down toward the seat than the hip joint, out to the back of the knee, and then down through the right lower leg as though you're letting it be carried away from you by gravity. Even if it's outstretched, even if you're driving a car, you can just let go of the lower leg and once again come into the openness at the ankle. And then you get into the freedom to plug into the sensitivity at the heel, the arches of the feet, the big toe, which has a lot of direction. It's the biggest part of the extension of the foot out to the very tips of the toes. And then all of the toes out to the baby toe, again, like big duck's flippers. They're wide. You're letting them open. And as your soles of your feet open, as your ankles let go, as your lower legs undo, as your knees open, as your thighs release, you start getting this letting go of the whole lower limb so that it can counterbalance the torso. And then the bonus, that as it's let go, it's free to collect all kinds of reflex information and activity from the ground and send it back up into the torso. And that's called, to make a very long story very short, knees out and away. So we have neck free, head balancing forward and up. We have eyes free in the room or free in the world if we're driving in our cars or walking. And then we have these legs counterbalancing the whole torso. So it's knees forward and away, torso up and back, releasing into upright. And now within that torso, let's look at the head balance at the top and the release of the pelvis at the other end, because it's that back and forth release of the weight down into the pelvis while the head's directing up and over the top of the spine and the eyes are leading us, freeing us out toward the world, that the spine gets what it needs to be an upright, springy, suspensory core of the body. So in a sense, you've got your forward nod of the head and you have what tends to be a reverse nod, a dropping the base of the spine, the tailbone area, reverse nod of the pelvis. So let's just quickly go through that. You're sitting on your sit bones. Above your sit bones are your hip joints where your legs are freeing forward away from you. And then you've got the heavy back wall of the pelvis, which is the base of the spine. And these three things get in a conversation. So you're free at the hips, which allows you to be rocking freely on your sit bones. And you'll always tend when you release to go back into that heavy tail part of the spinal column that's at the very base. So you'll have this little reverse nod of the pelvis. And physical therapists and people sort of have you do that by tucking the pelvis, but in fact, the release that is the tuck is built into us, and it'll just happen. So you have this ongoing conversation between head and pelvis. It's like those funny old barometer birds that people had on their shelves where you have the, or a teeter-totter, where you have one end going one way while the other end releases the other way. In between, the spine is freed up. And then we're going to go on to a relationship which is within the torso, the head-pelvis counterbalance, and that's the freed up breath. And the way this works is your rib cage kind of wants to float free, although it's anchored into the spine and it's anchored in the front into the breastbone. It wants to float freely between the head and the pelvis. It wants to be let go of. So in other words, we don't hold ourselves upright by tightening the chest because that interferes with the breath. And we don't have to hold ourselves upright by squeezing the shoulders because, first of all, it's not needed because we have these other counterbalances in play, but also it interferes with the breath. We don't need to hold the belly tight and we don't need to grip in the lower back. We're wanting the movement of the breath, which is the movement of the diaphragm, to energize the body. 8 times a minute is actually how often the breath would happen if we let it. But of course, we don't let it. We tighten all these various things unconsciously. So for now, just be thinking of where the diaphragm is. It's this great big muscle organ that forms the bottom floor of the rib cage. And it moves on its own initiative, guided by the brain, through all these very finely tuned mechanisms in the physiology of the body. It knows when and how much to breathe. And we don't need to help it by tightening our external muscles. It's all driven from deep in the body. We tend very much to interfere with the breathing by holding back the exhale. So when people say, oh, take a deep breath, well, if it's really the exhale, we're cheating. And if we just keep taking deep breaths, the diaphragm gets more and more confused. It's like doing more of the wrong thing. So what we begin to do is learn to put our awareness into the exhale, not to push it, not to make it happen, but to let it happen. And the exhale tends to be maybe 4 times longer than the inhale. And we don't want to impose that, but we start to notice that the exhale wants to occur and we can let it. And there's a lovely exercise in the Alexander repertoire, which is called the whispered ah, where you simply drop your jaw and let this lovely little ah out. And it's not a deep pushy sigh. It's just an ah. You're just letting the air fall out. And then you wait. And what happens is the inhale coordinates itself, the diaphragm moves, and the breath does itself. And then we play with that maybe 2 or 3, 4 times in a row, while all of these previous relationships we've established are still going, are still warm and happening. And the breath tends to release. Because when we tighten ourselves, we hold the breath. And I think a lot of symptoms people have for anxiety and shortness of breath and all these things that eventually even alter the physiology of the body are really that we're not letting ourselves have our exhale in order for the inhale to recoordinate and the body to just get energized over and over again by the breath. So there's a relationship we have left for last. We haven't touched on it yet, largely because it often rules us. And the relationship we're going to work with now is the arms relationship to the whole pattern of the whole coordination. And the fact is, usually we're doing so much stuff so fast that the arms are grabbing and picking things up and gripping the steering wheels and using the computer, and the whole body kind of hunkers down and follows the arms. And it causes all kinds of neck and shoulder pain. So we're basically, everything we've done so far is addressing the conditions that really cause neck and shoulder pain. And we're establishing the good use through the rest of the body. And now we're going to think about the arms. And if we really did that, a lot of our neck and shoulder disruption would go away. So we establish our balance, find our legs, find our torso, find the balances and the breath within the torso. Then we use the arms. And let's say you need to get a little closer to your computer or closer to your steering wheel before you start typing or driving. And instead of just letting the arms pull you and kind of yank your shoulders forward and tighten your neck back and grip your legs and do that that we always do, we're actually going to think back into this upright release, neck free, eyes free, head balancing on top, free at the hip joints, released forward and away in the legs, easy in the breath, pelvis heavy but mobile on its sit bones, and we're going to take the torso from a 90 degree uprightness and tip the whole thing at the hip joints just a little. So we're maybe, I don't know, 85 degrees, 80 degrees. So you're a little bit forward. You've come forward though with your whole spine, not with just the top or just the arms. And then from here, thinking of the arms and the way they release out of the back. So let's do them both at once. Think of how your arms, the sockets where the shoulders are, the shoulder sockets, the upper arm releases away from the shoulder socket to the elbow. And we can think of that as being right now back in a way because we're not yanking ourselves forward. We're letting the upper arm fall with gravity. And then there's a release at the elbow through the forearm. And now, just the way we found the openness at the ankles, we have the richness of all the opening we have in the wrists, the ability for the hand to spiral one way and another way. And then we have these great opposable thumbs. So it's more than duck slippers when we get to the hands. We have these opposable thumbs that are so skillful. They actually are what make us human. Other creatures don't have these. And then we have all the fingers, the index fingers on both hands, middle fingers, ring fingers, baby fingers, and the whole broad palm and back of the hand. And just like the legs, we have two things going on. So if you put your hands now on your steering wheel or you rest them on the computer, you both have the fact that you have this energy coming out from the torso to flow through to the fingers and the thumbs so that you can do these skillful things with all of the breath and the balance and the nervous system guidance of the whole body behind it. So you've got that going out from the core. But then you have this other thing, which is you've got your hands out there away from you on the steering wheel or out there on the computer. And this is when we never tap into on our own. What if you think of those arms as spacers, as something that's between you and the task you're doing? So in other words, the arms, the sheer length of them, if you release them into their length and don't let them bunch up and pull you forward and down, if you release away through the arms from what you're doing, it puts you back in your back. And just like the feet feeding reflexes up into the torso, the arms feed this wonderful back and away from the thing you're doing balance into you. So in a sense, you're becoming balanced by your activity through your hands rather than unbalanced and pulled out of shape through via the hands and the tension in the arms. And so again, just like the very beginning, we have to come back to this over and over because the tendency habitually is to hunker down and hold on to things tighter. Instead, we're moving away. We're freeing away. We're letting the hand be open. And you start to discover things like if you're chopping a carrot, it doesn't take every ounce of pressure and energy in your body to do that. It's just a little carrot. And you let your hands respond to the activity and you use much less energy to do that. Or think of playing a musical instrument where you want a certain responsiveness. You don't want to just have sheer brute force coming through the hand. You need all kinds of articulation. And so this out and away and coming back and into the back of the arms, the duality, the opposition of that, is what gives you so much gradation in the doing of the thing that you're doing. So you can play with it as you drive or as you work.